Israelis fired, surface-to-surface missiles on the outskirts of Damascus and Qudsiyah suburb. Right. And this tells you another thing. You see, over the last 2 days, the Israeli Air Force kept on attempting to reach even the Golan Heights, and the Syrian radars and air defenses were painting them red before they even reached the Golan Heights. So what does this mean? That meant that that was a message to the Israeli Air Force that they will be shot down over Palestine before they even reach the Golan Heights, let alone Syrian airspace. They will be fired upon and shot down. And this is very significant to see today for the first time in 10 years that the Israelis use surface-to-surface missiles to hit Damascus, which means that their air force now is out of commission in the game of attacking Syria.
Now, the Israelis have admitted to doing hundreds of airstrikes on Syria, and although Israel doesn't usually comment on its illegal activities, the mainstream media, who serve as a mouthpiece for them, are more than happy to push this narrative that Israel is bombing Hezbollah and Iranian targets inside Syria, as if that somehow makes it okay or justifies an act of war and aggression. The United States attempts to justify its illegal bases, claiming that it's in Syria to fight Daesh. I mean, who invited you? Because the last time I checked, the United States has no permission to be in Syria, so whether its troops are making pancakes or fighting Daesh is irrelevant. Number two, the United States helped to create Daesh directly, if not indirectly, just like it did with Al-Qaeda. And third, Daesh was defeated by the PMU, by Iran, Hezbollah, and the Syrian and Russian armed forces. The United States played a minimal role, if any, in defeating Daesh. As a matter of fact, the United States has killed Syrian soldiers on multiple occasions, the same Syrian soldiers who were fighting terrorists. Who benefits from that except Daesh? Israel bombs Syria almost on a weekly basis, acting as a de facto air force for Daesh. Now, earlier, John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesperson, said that the United States has the right to defend itself.
I think you've heard us say before that the right of self-defense.
So let me get this straight. The United States has the right to defend itself in Syria? How can you invade another country and then talk about self-defense? This is incredible. When you invade other people's countries and illegally occupy them, you're going to anger a lot of people. So this act of resistance in El Tanf could have been Syrians, Iraqis, who knows? I mean, given the sophistication of the attack and the timing, that narrows it down, of course, but if you want to talk about Iran, I mean, Iran certainly supports resistance movements in the region, and proudly. But this report, I mean, conveniently issued by anonymous U.S. officials, sounds a lot like just randomly assigning blame to Iran without any proof. Regardless, though, it's insane how the United States invades other people's countries, occupies them, steals their resources, and then starts playing the victim. In what dimension does that make any sense except in the imperialist Western mindset? Nevertheless, let one thing be clear. The illegal occupation of Syria, of the Levant, of West Asia, is not going to last forever. This has become a very, very costly war for Western colonizers. And the balance of power in the region is starting to shift. Sooner or later, like all other empires who thought that they would last forever and they could hold on to the Middle East, the United States and Israel will have to retreat. It's simply a question of when. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
Members of Extinction Rebellion, or XR, along with other advocacy groups and movements who marched against greenwashing, accused COP26 sponsors such as Google and the National Grid of covering up their destructive habits with this PR trick while corrupting climate negotiations and endangering life on Earth. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jessica Corbett, journalist. This article is published under the heading climate movement marches against polluters' lies in Glasgow. Stay tuned for more. Climate campaigners took to the streets of Glasgow recently to denounce industry-fueled greenwashing efforts. They charge are rampant within the COP26 climate summit took place in the Scottish city. Members of Extinction Rebellion XR, along with other advocacy groups and movements who marched against greenwashing, accused COP26 sponsors such as Google and the National Grid of covering up of their destructive habits with this PR trick while corrupting climate negotiations and endangering life on Earth. Rob Callender of the group Jubilee for Climate said at the march that one day soon, all the blah 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 of greenwash will be used as evidence against those who knew the suffering climate change was causing and would cause and still use their creativity to prevent action. There is no place for corporations, governments, or individuals who behave this way. Exposing their lies is just the beginning, added the London-based 31-year-old, adding, just demands that we use their wealth and assets to repair the damage they have done. Marchers of all ages shared how their frustration with corporate interests and government leaders motivated them to join the protest. I'm so tired of the number of companies profiting from a disingenuous perception of themselves as ethical or green, when the reality is totally the opposite, said XR activist Helen Smith, 34-year-old from Glasgow, in a statement, adding, it makes us all skeptical of genuine green claims at a time when this action is more important than ever. I'm marching to take a stand against all companies harming the planet while offering inexcusably skewed perceptions of themselves for the benefit of their own brand image, Smith said, adding, and to call to our government to improve regulation to make misguiding the public illegal. Fellow XR activist Mike Grant, a retired 61-year-old from the Scottish village of Rosewell, said that after 25 years of climate negotiation, we have seen nothing more than a massive failure of governance at every level across the world. So I'm acting today to make clear to those gathering for COP26 that the people demand far bolder and far faster action now, he added. Every fraction of a degree avoided is a life, a town, a species saved somewhere in the world. AKK Hutsoma, a 20-year-old administrative worker, traveled from Netherlands to attend COP26 protest, where activists have carried signs demanding a swift transition from fossil fuels and declaring that greenwashing equals to murder. For us, that's very little hope, Hutsoma told New York Times, adding, I feel the most anxiety not about my future, but for the people right now who are suffering. As the newspaper detailed, the focus of the climate conference has been on how to pay for a global shift to cleaner energy sources. Even as a group of the world's biggest investors, banks, and insurers vowed to commit their more than $130 trillion in assets to pursuing climate goals, protesters were doubtful that the promises would be fulfilled. Marlin Spear, 74-year-old retired high school teacher from Devon, England, who is a member of the Extinction Rebellion British-based activist group, said, The promises coming out are quite good, but they're still just promises. If they step up to the mark, good for them, but so far we haven't seen a lot of it. Swedish activist Greta Thunberg of the Youth-led Fridays for Future movement said in a series of tweets recently that the fossil fuel industry and banks are among the biggest climate villains, and blasted what critics call the false solution of offsetting planet-heating emissions. Offsetting risks human rights transgressions and to harm already vulnerable communities. Offsetting is often hypocrisy, and it is swirling around that, COP26 Thunberg tweeted. In broad daylight, we are being gaslit by corporates and governments, but we are exposing the climate lies. The recent action comes as critics of Offspring continue to collect signatures for a joint statement warning against supposed nature-based solutions like tree planting that corporate polluters push so they often can keep burning fossil fuels, mine more of the planet, and increase industrial meat and dairy production. As Common Dreams reported recently, more than 300 groups and individuals from around the globe warned that such purported solutions will result in nature-based dispositions and argue that only a rapid, time-bound plan to leaving the remaining coal, oil, and gas reserves in the ground and industrial agriculture overhauled will avert catastrophic climate chaos.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, fear of Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the fear of Allah. One of the most important things that a person should have while he wants an Islamic lifestyle, while he wants to follow the Islamic lifestyle, is having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that before I perform any action, I must think whether it is according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it not? And while having the fear of Allah, I should perform the actions. The one who has created me, the one who has sent me, the one who is the creator of the whole mankind, he has sent me due for a purpose. And am I completing that purpose or not? If I'm completing the purpose for which I was sent, then yes, I will be succeeded. And if I'm not, then obviously I need to think about my actions. Fear of Allah is the basic thing that leads us even towards the justice. And if we want to have a good life, we must perform our actions while having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is farstoday.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads towards the justice, and we must have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important that we see even in the history that the prophets also had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which is noble. This is something which is known as the prayer, which is known as worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways of worshipping Allah is also having the fear of Allah. For example, if I'm talking to my parents, I should consider that those things that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry while talking to my parents, I should not perform such things. I should talk to them nicely. I should talk to them with humbleness. And similarly, when I'm talking to my kids, when I'm socializing with my neighbors, when I'm socializing in the community, the things that make my Lord unhappy, I should not perform such things. Therefore, I must be very much careful while performing anything, while doing any action. For example, if I'm eating, I cannot eat anything. Why? Because there are some things which are forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I eat those things, then it is something which will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry. And I should have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that I will not make him angry. This fear is a noble thing. This fear is divine. This is a noble blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we have his fear, then obviously we will not perform the forbidden things and we will perform all the allowable things. So the actions that we will have, they will be according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of the Prophet of Islam. Reasonless laughter is a sign of ignorance.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back 2 millennia. Archaeologists have recovered 6 bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers. Artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. Reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It sucks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks, but here it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run. Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but the legendary football player Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. A Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem, to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and I, we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million. Meet Clarion, homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming?
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere. The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam. Today, Sunday, is the first of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we bless this moment by recitation of chapter Falaq. Let's listen to it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq.
Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of Daybreak.
Min sharri ma khalaq.
From the evil of that which he created. And from the evil of darkness when it settles. And from the evil of the blowers in knots. And from the evil of an envier when he envies.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, the decay of religion is envy, arrogance, and pride. Dear friend, it is because an envious person, in fact, protests the divine wisdom of why he has given such blessings to some people and have covered them under his grace. For the reproach of envy, it is enough to mention, as an example, the first slaying that man committed in the world where Cain killed his brother Abel, and the motive was envy. The envious ones have always been one of the hindrances on the way of prophets and saints. And that is why the Holy Quran commands the Holy Prophet to take refuge with the Lord of the Dawn.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Now let's look at the jealousy in the view of Islam. Jealousy refers to the desire that a person feels for the destruction or removal of a blessing that another person has, a destruction which the bearer of this feeling would himself carry out if he had the power to do so. This is quite different to wanting such blessings for oneself while not wishing for them to be removed from others, for that is indeed a positive and commendable desire that leads to competition. Competition is not considered blameworthy in general. Rather, it is considered to be praiseworthy if it is in pursuit of righteousness. the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, said, "Do not envy one another. Do not hate one another. Do not turn your back on one another in discontent, but be servants of Allah as brothers."
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. One of the abominable characteristics, moral characteristics, is jealousy. Now we find that in sources and books on moral education, we find that there are various reasons for jealousy. One of them is that we may not want any kind of grace or any kind of favor to be attached to someone else. It implies that the jealous person isn't happy with the divine decision and with the divine act of providing someone else with some graces or some aspects of convenience. Another one is that some people have been trained in such a way, have been living in such a way that they can hardly realize and sit still regarding the benefits, regarding the convenience of other people. At the same time, the jealous person finds him or herself to have some sort of inferiority complex, in that he or she believes that he or she cannot make any progress or cannot make excel in his or her life in order to come up higher in his or her social status. So he or she would start backbiting other people or feeling jealous about other people. Now we find that those people who feel jealous about other people, they are very egocentric, and they want only to be they want themselves to be only in view. While it isn't always the case, it cannot take place easily. Another reason for feeling jealous about someone else is some sort of an air of animosity. Those people who feel very much hatred regarding someone else, or they are enemies of each other, in some respects, we find that in such cases, someone else may not sit still and find that his or her friend or colleague, or for example, a former classmate, has made some sort of progress in his or her life.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling. I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying. Lord, I'm calling. I need your help.
In the previous episode of today's special, we'll look at the steps to overcoming envy. The step that we speak about it today is increasing your knowledge. Many of us envy others, whether our Facebook friends or celebrities, without having full knowledge of their lives. Never criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. Yes, that is an interesting American Indian proverb. When we compare our lives to others, we don't take into consideration the whole picture. Several examples come to mind that involve celebrities. Demi Moore, the graced the covers of magazines for years as having it all, including a much younger man. She was beautiful, successful, and appeared as if she discovered the fountain of youth, but we've had a glimpse of the other side of her not so glamorous life. She is currently in rehab due to her various addictions. Many celebrities fear aging and gaining weight so much they deprive themselves of nourishing sustenance in order to maintain relevance and remain in the public eye. If we know all this about our favorite envied individual, would we still want to have that life? Would it not make our life seem more stable by comparison? In the previous episode of today's special, we spoke about kinds of jealousy, the good one, and envy, the bad one. Islam has divided jealousy into two kinds, good jealousy and envy. Envy or hasad. The Arabic word of envy is known as hasad. Hasad is the particular bitterness that comes about when we want something that belongs to someone else. We feel envious of them that they have this or that and we do not. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family, was very vocal about the insidious nature of jealousy. He instructed his companions to beware of envy because it would destroy good deeds just as fire destroys the forest.
It doesn't matter if you have the money or don't have the money. Sometimes you find some people, they tell them, stop talking about this person. He says, no, I have money too. Why should I come and talk? Why should I become jealous? But this person, in reality, they are jealous. Why should I be jealous of another person if they have money? I also have money. Doesn't matter. Sometimes a person who has money, but they're very jealous from another person who also has money, because they want to be the only one. Sometimes a person, he's a scholar, he's a knowledgeable person, he's the one who, all the eyes are on him, he has all the prestige, the status, everything is on him. And then another person comes and he says, no, I don't want that person. I want all the lights to be shining on me. Now whether this person has or doesn't have, a person can be jealous. Whether they want that thing for themselves or they don't want it for themselves. For example, someone has a respectable position. I don't want that person's position, but I come and I say, no, this person, I wish that this person loses it. So it doesn't matter if I'm taking it or I'm not taking it, I have that status or I don't have that status. It is tamanni zawal al-ni'mah, wishing for the ni'mah, the blessing, to be removed from that person's life. The moment a person begins to wish, the moment a person begins to act upon it through their tongue, through their actions, through their mouth, through their hands, saying something, doing anything, acting upon it, this becomes jealousy and it becomes haram, one of the great sins. Now, when does jealousy not become haram? Because jealousy, it's a feeling in the heart. Sometimes some people, they say, I can't control what happens in my heart. I have no control of what's going on in my heart. It's an emotion. Yes. We have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. Rasulullah says, Rufi'a an ummati tis'a. 9 things have been lifted from my ummah. They're not going to be held accountable for these. One of them is the jealousy that is not acted upon.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio.